Hi there, many thanks for joining us on the Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. Here's what's coming up in an action-packed 30 minutes or so. Three fantastic tournaments for you this week. First of all, we will look back on what for me was one of the best tournaments to be held on these shores in many a year, the BMW Championship, PGA Championship at Wentworth. I thought it was really, really brilliant. A very strange, very different, and in many ways sad week, Steve. But it was a lovely, heartwarming finish, wasn't it? And congratulations to you. Obviously, you nailed the winner in Shane Lowry. So what did you make of it all?
I think you summed that up very well. Yeah, it was a very sad start to the week, wasn't it? The Queen's passing. I mean, yeah, I was affected by that much more than I thought it would be. Yeah. She's a superstar and we'll miss her greatly. And then by the end of the week, we dealt with that. You know, most of us had dealt with that. And, you know, Shane Lowry was fantastic. You know, as you say, a really thrilling event, a really tight tussle. I'm glad we didn't do a Sweet Spot live. You know, we cancelled out of respect to Her Majesty, and I think it was the right decision because I was finding it a bit too much on Sunday, I must admit.
I was thinking how brilliant it would have been if we'd done the show. Do you think you would have been able to hold it together? No,
it was crazy scenes in my house. Yeah, the kids were going bananas in the living room. Tommy Tiger was sort of feeding off the tension. You know, he always feeds off my tension, and he was coming at me with like golf tees and all sorts of other weaponry as Lowry's goodness. Going up the last couple of holes. So I really, really wanted Lowry to win, as you say. You know, we've been building something here. You know, Sir Callum Shinquin, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Shane Lowry, you know, going up a level each time. So I was glad we weren't on, and God save the Queen.
The most fraught moment, I suppose, was the tee shot at 17, which looked like it was disappearing into the woods and out of sight, wasn't it? And he actually dropped a little S-bomb, which for the first time in the history of Sky Sports didn't merit an apology. I mean, do you remember that time when one of the Italian players swore in Italian and they and they apologised for that?
Yeah.
So that was incredible that they didn't apologise for that. But more importantly, he managed to find his ball, fashion a shot out of that, got his par, and then terrific on the last.
Yeah. I must have missed the swearing there. I was doing some swearing of my own. But yeah, 17 looked a bit dodgy, didn't it? And then 18, he played it so well, didn't he? I mean, that second shot was so pure. Because, it's not a gimme from the position he was in there. You know, there's loads of trouble left. You can destroy your chances left. You have to hit a fantastic golf shot. Perfectly drawn 5-iron, 2-putt birdie. And then, thank goodness Rory did the decent thing and missed the eagle putt.
Obviously, we didn't do Sweet Spot Live, but if we had, what would can you reenact what you would have been like as Rory's eagle attempt trundled towards the hole?
I celebrated very, very, very enthusiastically, but then I gave it a bit like a VAR moment in many ways because I waited just to make sure I wasn't going to tickle in. It was so close, wasn't it? Yeah, I gave it a couple of seconds before I fully started embracing family members. It was a huge moment for me personally. And a big moment for Shane Lowry. It's been a frustrating year for him. That was his first title of the year. And you could tell how hungry he was and how delighted he was. And, we're talking about him being in the form of his life. Difficult one for people to understand when he's got no silverware on the mantelpiece from this year. But Rory talked about it. Shane,
I was going to say that Rory did talk about it, didn't he? He said he's putting together one of his best ever years. It just wasn't reflected, which is exactly what you said on Tuesday when some other idiot was making silly faces and doubting your wisdom.
This is it. It's just consistency in all departments. There's not a department of Lowry's game that you can look back on with anger this year. It's been a really polished display. That was a clinic he gave at Wentworth. He didn't drop a shot all week. 54 holes.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Bogey free on a. We mentioned all the trouble spots. His course management was magnificent last week. And he didn't putt particularly well. He didn't have to putt particularly well to win.
He'd be on my list of people I've never met that I'd like to have a pint with. Would he? Would you like to buy him a foaming glass of ale?
I would. I'd like to go on a Guinness session with Shane Lowry if he's watching.
Well, you never know. But I thought it was really nice, actually, because him and Rory, they called it one for the good guys, and it absolutely was, wasn't it? None of those horrible live people. And we'll talk about that again in a minute because there's something I need to get off my chest. But the embrace at the end there and the sort of little theatrical from Rory, you rascal, I loved it. I absolutely loved all that. I thought it was really, really good.
It was great banter from two great mates who are at the top of their game, aren't they? I mean, Rory McIlroy, like Lowry, has never been a better all-rounder than he is now. Yeah, Rory's really sharpened up his approach play. I'd say they're both at the peak of their powers.
And we have to give John Rahm props because that was a terrific return to form. What a lovely final round he put together, didn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's a dictionary definition of putting the willies up us, wasn't it? I mean, yeah, that back nine, was it 8 under par back nine on Sunday?
With a bogey.
With a bogey, yeah, really impressive. I mean, John Rahm is world number 6. I mean, that's an anomaly, isn't he? Yeah, world number 6, he's better than that.
He has had a poor year, though, Steve, hasn't he? Unlike Lowry, Rahm hasn't had much silverware this year, but he hasn't really deserved it. He just hasn't played very well, has he?
Yeah, he's been firing kids out. It's why he's been firing kids out left, right and centre. I think this has been, an underperforming year on the course for Rahm. But I think there's only one way he's going from world number 6.
Brilliant. Anyone else you want to discuss?
I'd like to discuss Thomas Detry, who finished 5th last week. Yeah, DP World Tour maiden, we backed many times. Yeah, that was a good effort in a high-class field. And I think it's worth mentioning that JP...
He's got your man on the bag, hasn't he, now?
Absolutely, absolutely. And JP did a similar thing with Victor Perez. You know, Victor Perez won soon after JP came on. Yeah, really experienced, successful bagman. You know, is JP going to do the same trick for Thomas Detry? It's entirely feasible.
Okay. Now, let's talk about what Sergio Garcia is doing to his reputation, because, I mean, he's turned from, you know, a much loved member of the, you know, the European golf elite and Ryder Cup player to an absolute nightmare. I mean, he skulked off and shot over to Texas to watch a football game, you know, hours after shooting a 76, just pulled out of the tournament without any kind of medical excuse, which you need. He's just turned into a right little horrible individual, hasn't he, by the look of it? I mean, he was the one who was the biggest spoilt brat beforehand, always moaning about the tour. First one onto the live. Yeah, Sergio, come on, my friend. It's not all about pounds. You had so much respect and you're just blowing it. It's just all going. Everyone now is just thinking, who is this guy? Why is he behaving like this? Come on, my friend. Pull yourself back together. You were much loved and you're not doing yourself any favours.
Yeah. Let's hope Shane and Sergio are both watching. We don't want to quaff Guinness with Sergio Garcia. I don't think he'd be able to drink one. I mean, he's gone right down in my estimation.
It's not good, is it, Steve? I mean, you know, he's got all the money he ever needs. Surely you want a bit of esteem and you want to be fondly remembered, don't you?
Yeah, and I think he's deliberately winding people up for some reason now. I mean, he disgraced himself in a European Tour locker room not that long ago, didn't he? Robert McIntyre commented, he did a disgraceful rant telling everyone they're all... I believe some, you know, he's always been petulant. I've never been a huge fan of him as a character, actually, but now I actively despise him. And that pitch you mentioned at the football game, was it an American football game? He even did one of them. He posed like that. I mean, what does that even mean? You're not blaming Spock, or you're not going to Star Trek, are you? I just think he's an all-round tosspot now, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Will that make the edit?
I think you spelling out the word that he said might not make the edit, but we'll see. Okay, we'll see what producer Will can do with that. anyway, should we move on? Should we look at forward rather than backwards?
I think we should, because we've got 3 tournaments this week. We're on a roll and we're all very excited.
Are you licking your lips?
Yeah, really, really, really. I can't lick them hard enough.
Okay, mate, brilliant. You want to start with the DS Automobiles Italian Open, I believe, don't you? Normally, I sort of chide you for that because it's part of your kind of OCD and you like to do them in chronology. But if we look at the field, it's a fantastic lineup this year. Here are some indicative prices for you. The aforementioned Rory McIlroy is playing. Isn't that fantastic? He's round about 4-1. You might 7-2, 4-1. Matt Fitzpatrick, 10-1. Victor Hovland, 12s. 20-1 Tyrrell Hatton. What a field we've got. 22, the local hero, Francesco Molinari. 33-1, Steve's neighbour's mate, Adrian Maronk. And then we've got Minwoo Lee. What a funny week he had last week. He's 40s. So is Jordan Smith. Zanotti, 45. Mansell, 50. And then we're into the sort of usual DP World Tour cast. So, fantastic tournament. Really looking forward to it. Starts early on Thursday. Where is it, Steve? And what kind of test does it provide?
We're at the Marco Simone Golf Club in Rome, 7,268 yards, par 71, 3 par 5s. This track took over as host last year. Next year, it will stage the Ryder Cup. It's a tree-lined stadium course, lots of doglegs, lots of water, undulating greens, made for quality ball strikers, I think, particularly where there's a little bit of breeze for the first 3 rounds.
Would that be half the reason that we've got these big names here? Just having a little bit of getting some course knowledge for the Ryder Cup next year?
Very much so, John. Yeah, course debut for Rory McIlroy, course debut for Victor Hovland.
OK, so who should it suit? Which kind of player?
I want strong ball strikers. I think it's a decent test. You know, 13 under par winning score last year. You know, 3 days of consistent breeze. The first 3 days this week.
OK, brilliant. How many selections?
4 right.
That worked last week, didn't it?
It did.
You added the right to show that you had the right selections, didn't
Absolutely,
you?
Yeah. I didn't want to get too carried away. You know, you've got to show our respect. Yeah, it's a difficult week, but 4 right.
Yeah, that was a good 4, Steve. I thought you got the pitch just right on that one.
Thank you.
Who's the headline?
It is an old Sweet Spot regular. It's Rasmus Højgaard, 50-1. I think the Marco Simone is going to be lit up by a Højgaard brother again. Last year was all about the Højgaards. Rasmus Højgaard won the European Masters the week before the Italian Open. Nikolaj Højgaard won the Italian Open. The history-making Højgaards won back-to-back weeks on the DP World Tour. I think Rasmus is going to add an extra twist to that story this week by taking the title off his brother. Rasmus, clearly a world beater in the making. Still only 21 years of old, as we like to say on the Sweet Spot. he's already got 3 DP World Tour victories under his belt. Recent signs really encouraging. He's had some injury niggles this year. I think he's over him now. He's combined stateside golf with his DP World Tour schedule. Never easy. But the Scottish Open in July is a big clue that he's ready to win again. He finished 10th in that. That was a top-class event, high-class lineup, finished 10th. And in his last two starts, he opened with a 63 in the Maiden Himmerland, finished 22nd. Last week, 3 rounds in the 60s for a share of 18th place at Wentworth. Højgaard is getting back in business. Last year at the Marco Simone, obviously arrived straight after that Cranthier victory. Mental hangover from Switzerland. Made a slow start, got sharper every day, finished 18th. This time, I think he's peaking for the Italian Open.
Cool. You make a very strong case there for Rasmus Højgaard. Don't forget, if you do fancy Steve's main selection, do make sure you get the right Højgaard. Unless, of course, he's tipping the other one as well. We'll see. Who's your second tip?
The next tip is Guido Migliozzi, 80-1. I was literally shocked when I looked at the prices for this. I went, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I just think it's a disrespectful price. My hair was standing on end. I mean, I know we got 3 big guns at the head of the betting, but can you make Migliozzi an 80-1 shot for this? You know, he's got
back
star
in form, isn't he?
He's got star quality of his own. You know, he's got the X factor. You don't finish 4th on your US Open debut unless you've got the X factor, did you? And that's what he did last year.
Did he really?
He finished 4th on his US Open debut last year. He rocked up at the same tournament this year and finished 14th, despite being in poor form in the builder. That was the turning point for him this year, that US Open effort. He's back in business. He had a really quiet start to the year. He's wearing glasses, if you remember right. He's experimenting with the spectacles. He's got rid of them. And now he's looking back like the old Guido. And last week, it just confirmed it for me. You know, did you see what happened last week? 3 rounds of 68. Really solid. 3 rounds of 68 for 13th place at Wentworth. He's gone back to his homeland in Great Heart. He was a prolific winner of events in Italy as a junior and as an amateur. He's won
the
three...
Alps Tour, wasn't it?
Oh, and on the Alps Tour. Yeah, he's won 3 times on the Alps Tour in Italy. He loves performing in his homeland. He's not one of these shrinking violets who's going to go, "Ooh, they want me to do well." he's going to say, "Come on, let's have it." He's like a gladiator, isn't he, in Rome, of all places.
Brilliant. Wow, what an excellent case you make for Guido Migliozzi. Oh, I always get that mixed up with Migliozzi. But anyway, you know the one I mean. Right then, who else have we got?
We're going to go back to someone you've already mentioned, actually, Minwoo Lee. Minwoo Lee is 40-1, despite a really encouraging Wentworth performance. Yeah, I've got some fantastic young talent on my side this week. If you spoke to Rory McIlroy and said to him, "Yeah, let's talk about Rasmus Højgaard and Minwoo Lee," I think he'd get the jitters. He knows they're a long-term threat in the biggest competitions. I think Minwoo Lee will develop into a major champion. I know I sound like a bit like a broken record, but I think the point needs to be made. And he's already shown his class in the majors this year. Look at his major performance this year. Masters debut in April, finished 14th. US Open debut in June, finished 27th. His second Open Championship start in July, finished 21st. He's a man for the big occasion. He's a 2-time DP World Tour champion. The last of them was a Rolex Series event. This is a class act. He's so classy. So classy, in fact. He spent Friday at Buckingham Palace.
I know, but, I was going to say that. I was going to say he could be an official sweet spot fine young man for that interview, couldn't he? I thought that was a lovely interview, Gabe.
There. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You got some players on Friday, you know, working on their swing. Yeah, he did the right thing. He went to Buckingham Palace and paid his respects to Her Majesty.
So did Antonio Conte turn out yesterday, the Tottenham manager. He went to Buckingham Palace on Friday as well. So.
Oh, there you go. Well, he's an.
Are you planning on coming up either to see the Queen lying in state or the funeral? Are you going to go?
I might have some President's Cup to deal with. Yeah, if they cancel the President's Cup, which they should. Then I'll get up there. But no plans as yet. But yeah, I'm a massive Queen fan. She's such a dignified. I don't get me started on the Queen. I might never finish.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to think of a seamless way to go back to Minwu Lee. But
well, he was paying his respects to the Queen on the Friday,
Saturday.
Yeah, on the Saturday, he shot 62 at Wentworth. Yeah, this is a really difficult golf course, and he scoots around in 62 shots. Amazing round of golf. He's been producing these bursts of scoring. He started the Korn Ferry Tour Finals last month with a 63 in the Boise Open. He's just not been stringing four rounds together. But the Marco Simone, good opportunity to do that. He finished 12th there last year. There's a lot of course debutants in this field. Minwoo can hit the ground running, and that breeze will have him licking his lips as well. We're all licking our lips this week.
Excellent. So we've got three at fairly big prices. What price is our fourth tip?
It's 175-1, my friend.
Goodness me.
And that is Tom Lewis, who is trying to get his career back on track. His stateside career has faltered. His mission at the moment is to regain full playing rights on the DP World Tour. He's got to get in the top 120 of the DP World Tour rankings by the end of the season. He's 169th at the moment. I fancy him to do it quite comfortably. It's easy to forget how good Tom Lewis is. Two-time Portugal Masters champion. He's got that tournament to come. Runner-up in the 2020 World Golf Championship in Memphis. He's proven himself at a good level. He's still only 31. Got bundles to offer, and the signs are encouraging. 13th place in the Czech Masters last month, 12th place in the Maiden Himalayan last time out. So, each way player at enormous prices.
Okay, we should talk about those at the head of the market. I mean, obviously, the conversation really needs to start with Rory McIlroy. Is this the sort of course where he could excel? I suppose it comes down to a question of value, really, doesn't it, Steve, with Rory?
Yeah. The price is not great for a course debutant. How keen is he going to be to get out there and learn this course? You know, motivation has to be an issue, doesn't it? He's doing his bit for the DP World Tour by being here, but he's got a lot on his plate, and he's the centre of attention. The questions will keep coming in. Patrick Reed had a big pop at him yesterday. They're bound to ask him about that.
Did he? Why?
Oh, Patrick, we were just saying, I've done more for the DP World Tour than Rory McIlroy. And blah, blah, blah. I just think Rory might not be able to get himself up for this or get the juices flowing. I think he might take some liberties with the course. You know,
isn't it more that it's a recce as well, Steve? You know, he's here to learn about, for next year for the Ryder Cup, isn't he? So perhaps he'll have that as much in his mind as his winning. But you never know.
Absolutely. I mean,
if he is on his game, he could just be different class, obviously, couldn't he? Yeah. If you oppose him, you have to accept that he might just come out and win this by half the track.
You do have to accept that. But yeah, we talked about the course management of Shane Lowry last week. That was based on hunger, discipline, determination. I don't think Rory McIlroy is going to have any of that this week, and he'll over-attack, and I think he'll come up unstuck somewhere in the Marco Simone trees.
OK, Fitzpatrick last week, not a bad effort. I mean, he didn't quite get there, did he? Could you give him a chance here?
He's the most appealing of those front three. He missed the cut at the Marco Simone last year, but he's the one with course experience out of the three. His five wood snapped on the aeroplane over to Italy last year, so a little bit excuse for him there. But those last nine holes at Wentworth were poor, weren't they? Two over par on that same stretch that Rahm obliterated in 29 shots. Fitzpatrick was two over par. Maybe he's run out of puff at the end of a long season.
And Hovland, class operator, and for 36 holes looked the likeliest winner, but it wasn't particularly impressive on Sunday, was it?
No, he hasn't had his A game from the Players' Championship onwards. He just dipped a level since then, and that frailty is shown when he got on the leaderboards. He didn't look comfortable at the Open when he had a winning chance there. And then on Sunday, some of those drives were, some of the duck hooks he was doing into the trees reminded me of myself. That's a shot I have in my locker. That driving was a big concern. He hasn't got long to correct that as he's going into Italy.
Particularly if this is a tight venue.
I wouldn't fancy Hovland at 12-1.
If they announced that Wentworth was going to stage the Open one year, would you be pleased? Or do you think, oh, no, it's got to be at a Lynx course? I think it would be lovely. I love Wentworth. I think it's an absolute jewel of British golf.
No, I'd be devastated. I think, you know, the fact is...
Devastated?
Devastated. I think the Open has to be played on Lynx terrain. It's what makes it unique. What makes it so special. Don't get me started on that either.
All right. I won't. I'll get you started on the Fortinet Championship instead, which is the US Tour event. This is the start of the new season, I suppose, isn't it?
Very much so, John.
Right then, Fortinet Championship. Here is the field. We've got the President's Cup next week, so a lot of the big names are preparing for that, but it's still a fairly high-class one. I suppose if you take the top-tier performers out, this is the best of the rest. So, guide prices here. Matsuyama, 18. Max Homer is fav at 16. And it's 18, Matsuyama. 18, Corey Connors. 25, Thigala and Maverick McNealy. 28, Taylor Pendrith. 33, Cam Davis and Tom Hoagie. Davis Riley, 35. I bet Steve tips him. 40, Emiliano Griot. And 50-1, Barr. Where are we, Steve?
We're at the North Course, Silverado Resort and Spa, Napa, California.
Wine country.
Yes. You like a wine, don't you? 7,123 yards, par 72, four par fives. Host of this event since 2014. Used to be called the Safeway Open. Quite tight fairways for a resort course. Poana greens, very small. You've got to be accurate. But if you are accurate, you can score well.
Okay. How many selections?
I've got five. It's a really difficult event. It's wide open. I found it hard to get down to five.
Okay. Who is the headline fancy?
Sweet spot regular Maverick McNealy, 25-1. Four of the last six Silverado champions have been Californian. Three of my five selections this week are Californian, including my number one choice, Maverick McNealy. He's come so close to a PGA Tour victory, and the two nearest misses have come in California. He loves the conditions in his home state. He was runner-up to Daniel Berger in the 2021 Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He was runner-up to Max Homer in last year's Fortinet Championship at Silverado, beaten by just a shot. He was always destined to become a PGA Tour champion. His amateur career was absolutely outstanding. I'm talking about achievements that Tiger Woods would raise an eyebrow to. He was world number one amateur for a long time and then made his professional debut in this tournament in 2017. He's played it every year. He knows this course better than most of the PGA Tour venues. And he just looks a winner waiting to happen. He's got a great temperament. He's cool. He's calm. He's got the calmness of a man who knows he's going to become a billionaire no matter what happens on the golf course. You know, he's heir to £1 billion.
Who's his wife again? Who's...
Oh no, his father is a billionaire. Yeah, yes.
Scott McNealy. Girlfriend though.
He did. He was with Danielle Kang. They've had a split. Oh, yeah. They've had a split. So. But it must really relax you as a character when you know that your father's going to give you £1 billion at some stage.
God, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. Okie dokie. Maverick McNealy is the main choice. Next up,
Justin Sir. 55-1. He's finally got a PGA Tour card in his pocket. He won the Korn Ferry Tour Championship last time out to put the icing on the cake of a fantastic Korn Ferry Tour campaign. You know how excited I've been about Justin Sir from the moment I set eyes upon him. He was in that batch of college superstars who came out in the summer of 2019. Colin Morikawa, Victor Hovland, Matthew Wolf, Justin Sir. The other three made an immediate impact on the PGA Tour and away and gone. Sir had this wrist problem at the time and didn't get that takeoff that the others did. He's had to work much harder for his spot at the top table. But this year, it's all happened for him. 16 top 20s in his last 20 tournaments. He's a 25-year-old Californian. Yeah, really consistent campaign, topped off with a win. He's a 25-year-old Californian licking his lips at going to Silverado. He qualified for this event last year and he made the cut. This time, he goes there to win.
S-U-H.
S-U-H.
Sir. Okay.
Yeah. Suit you, sir.
Who's the third tip? That's a good headline, isn't it?
Yeah. You've predicted this one, you little tinker. Davis Riley.
I know you so well.
35-1, Davis Riley, who I think needed the break. I think he'd come back from the break full of beans. He would have been kicking himself in the break that he wasn't off the mark on the PGA Tour. He became a leaderboard regular. He set up some great chances. I think it's almost inevitable that he gets the job done at some stage. He's just too good not to win PGA Tour titles. He's won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's only 25. I think this is the year, this is the season that Riley starts winning silverware.
Righty-ho, who's next?
Brandon Wu, 125 to 1. Brandon Wu, the third Californian in my staking plan, another 25-year-old. He won the 2020 Korn Ferry Tour Championship last season, settled nicely on the PGA Tour. He was third in the Puerto Rico Open, second to John Rahm in the Mexico Open, sixth in a high-class Scottish Open, and eighth in the Wyndham Championship last month. I think Wu's going to have a maiden victory in the near future.
And it's B Wu. There's also a D Wu in the field, isn't there?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, watch your Wus.
Yeah. Okay. And finally?
Finally, Robbie Shelton, another 125 to 1 chance, back where he belongs. I always had this lad down as a PGA Tour champion in the making. He finished third in the 2015 Barbasol Championship when he was still an amateur. Amazing achievement. His college peers said he was like a robot back then. Fairway, green, putt, fairway, green, putt. yeah, the world was his oyster. He made golf look like a computer game, they used to say about Robbie Shelton. He found it so easy. But it didn't happen on the PGA Tour for him. He had some issues with homesickness, actually, early in his PGA Tour career.
Oh, blimey.
But now at the age of 27, he looks ready to rumble. Robbie Shelton has won four times on the Korn Ferry Tour. I think he's definitely good enough to win on the PGA Tour.
Do you reckon if your life had gone as planned and you become a tour pro, do you think you'd get homesick if you were playing the US Tour? Would you have a high old time, do you think?
It's entirely feasible you'd miss home, wouldn't you? If you're a sort of low-grade player having to play in every event and not seeing much of home. I mean, you know, Kiridek Epibarmrat gave a very emotional interview the other day about how he struggles in the States. He misses Thailand. You know, he has no one to hang around with, no ties to hang around with. So Kiridek was pouring his heart out. Lucas Herbert, if you remember rightly, when he first came onto the tour, massive homesickness issue. I think he's overcome now. But, yeah, Robbie Shelton, I think it, for the younger lads, it can be an issue.
And also, if you're not one of the absolute superstars, I know that you don't think there's any such thing as a skint golfer. But in actual fact, if you're just, you know, playing with the pressure of trying to get your card and you maybe missing cut after cut, you're not actually bringing in a lot of money. And of course, it costs a lot of money to get you and your entourage from course to course, doesn't it? So it's not the land of milk and honey that everyone thinks it is, maybe.
No, it's a good point. If you're struggling and missing cuts, you might be having to stay in the Premier Inn all on your own in the Premier Inn.
Indeed. Have we got another one, or have you said them all?
No. That's the five tips of the Fortinet Championship. As for the market leaders, I think Hideki Matsuyama's not been fully fit lately. He's got the President's Cup distraction next week. Max Homer should be clear favourite, but yeah, you know, I'd have him well clear of Matsuyama. But you know, next week's massive for Max Homer. You know, he's representing America as a pro for the first time. Maybe his eye's taken off the ball there.
I like, he comes across as a very good egg on Twitter. I like him very much. Okay, we will reiterate all Steve's tips at the end of the show. But first, we've got another LIV event. They're in Chicago, the LIV Golf Invitational in Chicago. Three rounds, all the rage these days. Starts on Friday. And here is the latest betting. 9-2, Dustin Johnson. 5, Cameron Smith. 15-2, Joaquin Niemann. 9-1, Taylor Gooch. 16-1, Patrick Reed. 18, Louis Oosthuizen, 20, Abraham Anser, and 25-1 and bigger the rest. So, Steve, 48 runners. We know the format now, shotgun, star, etc., etc. Tell us all about the course. I will say this, by the way. I hope it's dried out because I watched an American football game in Chicago on Sunday, and it was, honestly, I've never seen rain like it. It was absolutely torrential. It was incredible. And they play in any weather in the NFL. They never, ever call it off except for thunder. And they just carried on. You couldn't see the markings and the, you know, yardage indicators and everything. So hopefully the weather's improved, because otherwise it's going to be a big old test.
That's it. No. We've got a few days till then, haven't we? And that actually helps my two selections. Got two selections at the appropriately named Rich Harvest Farms. Ooh. Rich Harvest Farms Golf Course, Sugar Grove, Illinois. There will be a rich harvest on Sunday. $20 million sprinkled over the 48 runners. Maybe they'll get a muck spreader to fire the dirty dollars at these lucky rascals. Yeah. It's a long course. So if it is wet, which it's 7,715 yards.
That's a monster.
Par 72. They may have to play from further forward tees. Four par fives. So it's a long, hilly, tree-lined layout. There's a lake. There's some lagoons. I love saying that. It's got some lagoons. Numerous blind tee shots. A little bit of breeze in the forecast. So, yeah, I think this is quite a demand. I think this is the hardest course they've played since Centurion.
Okay. And you've got two tips, yeah?
I've got two tips, both at massive prices.
Righto. Away you go with your first one.
66 to 1. The prices are just coming out as we speak. A couple of firms up with prices so far. 66 to 1 with Boyle Sports, Sam Horsfield. an incredible price. One of only a handful of players in this field with some competitive course experience. Certainly the player with the most compelling course credentials. Horsfield starred in the 2015 Western Amateur Championship at Rich Harvest. There were four rounds of stroke play competition in that event. Horsfield finished third. Massive field. Only two players outscored him over four rounds at Rich Harvest. That he was 18 years old for that, and he was brilliant there. Now he returns as a 25-year-old who must have taken great confidence from the BMW PGA. There was a lot of pressure on him last week. You know, lots of noise surrounding the LIV Golf players. Horsfield played well. He got better every day. 70, 68, 67. And in his last round of LIV Golf in Boston, he shot 65. So he's 16 under par for his last four rounds of golf. He's going to a big hitters course with his A game returning. He won on the DP World Tour in May. I think maybe this week he gets off the mark on the LIV Golf circuit. And there's a little bit of icing on the cake. Talk about Chicago. He's associated with Bettinardi putters. He uses a Bettinardi putter, and the Bettinardi HQ is in Chicago. He's a regular visitor to Chicago to work on his putting and sharpen up his putting. So he's comfortable in Chicago. It's a very small bit of icing on a very juicy cake.
What's a Bettinardi putter?
It's a very, very high quality putter. I mean, I'm a Scotty.
How do you spell it?
You spell it B-E-T-T. I-N-A-R-D-I. Oh, Bettinardi, right. Yeah, Bettinardi. I mean, I'm a Scotty Cameron loyalist, but I do accept that Bettinardi putters are very good as well.
I have an Odyssey.
Oh, do you? Yeah, yeah. No,
just useless.
No, that's not bad. Well, a good workman.
No, yeah, no, it's all my fault. But anyway, yeah. Okay, well, that's an interesting clue. But more importantly, obviously, is the course form he showed there when he was only a nipper.
Yeah, and, you know, there's only four players in this field, Bruce, with competitive course experience.
You've done your research here, Steve. I'm very impressed. Right then, so we've got Sam Horsfield at 66-1. Who's the other tip?
The other bet is a 200-1 chance. Eugenio Chacara, 22-year-old Spaniard, turned pro in June, former world number two amateur, bursting with potential, huge scope for improvement as he settles on the LIV Golf circuit. This week, he can hit the ground running at a course he knows. We talked about that, doing four players. He's one of only four players who've competed at this track before. And is his recent form as well. Chacara teed up in the Palmer Cup there last year. Very prestigious amateur event, a bit like the Amateur President's Cup. And he was magnificent in that. He played four matches. He won all of them. His internationals team was well beaten, but Chacara could hold his head high. So, I think if Eugenio Chacara can draw on that course form, he can make a mockery of 200-1. He may get bigger than 200-1. I don't know. The prices are just trickling out. Let's see.
Wow, Eugenio Lopez Chicara. That's a new name on me.
Yeah.
Presumably, also he's going to need to perform, because he'd be one of the guys who, you know, if a few more defects, the guys at the bottom of that list could get shaken out. And I still don't know what happens to them, whether they keep the money they were given to sign. Can you please try and find out for me?
I think the young superstar, the potential young superstars like him, are be given more grace, if that's the right word, than your Adrian Ottaguis. I mean, Ottaguis out in his ear. I mean, I think a young lad like that who's pledged his future to LIV Golf early on, I think he'll be given a stay of execution, if that's the right terminology.
At the top of the market, we've got DJ and we've got Cam Smith. It's all right, relax. what are your thoughts on them?
Well, Dustin Johnson, I've seen two firms. Dustin Johnson's fav with one firm. Cameron Smith is fav with another firm. So it shows the quandary that the bookmakers have got. I'd make Dustin Johnson fav for every LIV event. But he's probably been partying since that Boston win. And you talk about Rory McIlroy lacking a bit of motivation. I think Dustin Johnson is a bit of a party animal. And I just think I can leave him alone for this one. There were reasons for getting involved at the bigger price last time in Boston, but I just like these two at massive prices this week.
Okay. Right, let's reiterate all your tips, Steve. Thank you very much for that. Great stuff. Obviously, like I say, been studying very hard. Here are your four tips for the Italian Open.
Rasmus Højgaard, Guido Migliozzi, Minwoo Lee, Tom Lewis.
We've got five in the Fortinet Championship, and they are?
Maverick McNealy, Justin Suh, Davis Riley, Brandon Wu, and Robbie Shelton.
And the two for the LIV Golf Chicago.
Sam Horsfield and Eugenio Chacara.
Brilliant. And have you got an exotic bet for us? A life changer.
yes, let's have some each way trebles. I mean, yeah, the main each way treble for me will be Rasmus Højgaard, Maverick McNealy and Sam Horsfield. When that wins, I will be tending my resignation with a spatula full of spittle on Monday morning.
Who to? Your line manager, yeah?
Just not me. Whoever I can get my hands on.
Okay, fine. Brilliant. All right, Steve, well done. Excellent stuff. Well done again last week with Shane Lowry. Thank you very much for all the nice messages you sent to Steve, both on the comments and also via me on Twitter, because Steve's not on Twitter. You're not making a Twitter return anytime soon,
are you? No. I appreciate
very wise.
I appreciate the messages and I appreciate you pointing them out to me.
Absolutely. Let us know who you fancy this week in the comments section. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love you to hit that thumbs up. Most of all, bet safely, bet responsibly, have fun. Hope the golf goes well for you this week. We're back next Tuesday with another sweet spot with a look at the President's Cup and the French Open.